And here we go on a beautiful day. Welcome, welcome to Waffle Free Storytelling. It's Tina Constant here, and you know the jibber jabber is always at the end or somewhere else. So we're jumping right into this week's story, which is the day Sarani was seen. Now, Sarani was a daydreamer, which was fine when she was young and could play under the wide beams of the thick straw roof of the home that she had been born into. There it was safe. The edges were soft, and her family knew to watch where they stood in case they stepped on Sarani lying flat on the floor, watching a parade of ants make their way across the kitchen, all marching to a beat that only she could hear. "You need to stand up one day," her parents said over and over, "or you will not be seen." Now, Sarani was fine with not being seen. She was quite happy doing what she wanted to do when no one bothered her. It meant that on days when she really didn't feel like doing much at all, it didn't matter. And that suited Sarani just fine. It suited her all the way through childhood and her youth, and it would have suited her for the rest of her days had the day not come when the elders came to her house, sat down with serious looks on their faces, and said, "So, Sarani, you're no longer a child. You're stepping into a grown-up world, which means we're lighting your candles in 3 days. What will the light reveal?" Well, if you could have seen Sarani's face that day, you would have seen all of her horrors come to life. What will the light reveal? Was this really necessary? Couldn't she just stay and play on the floor forever? In a moment, everything Sarani feared came to be. She didn't want the light on her. She was happy doing whatever she wanted to do. Why change what had worked for so long? Why did she have to do anything anyway? But no matter how much she objected, things got busy. People started to ask her questions about her purpose, and she had no answers. They dug through her wardrobe, and things that were fine to wear yesterday suddenly weren't that fine today. Her things were sorted and thrown out according to some random measure of worth that she knew she hadn't agreed to. It was too much. All of it was just too much. So in those days leading up to the ceremony, she did everything in her power to sabotage the event. She destroyed the candles, but someone remade them. She flooded the hall, but someone drained the water and cleaned the mess up as if it hadn't happened. She hid logs from the grand fire, but someone found them. I just want to be me. I want to be me," she wailed. "Why does anything have to change?" In tears, she hid in her favorite place under the floorboards of her grandmother's house, and she wept for lost youth and lost time and lost hope and for the fear of what to do next. She cried so hard that she didn't hear her grandmother pull up a chair right over her hiding place, take out her weaving, and weave a basket. Only when Sarani's tears and sobs subsided did she hear the snip and the crack of the reeds as her grandmother worked. And she came out from under the floor to watch, like she had 1,000,000 times growing up. The deliberate folding and weaving, blending and knitting of the reeds was hypnotic. Sarani watched as her grandmother's hands cradled the basket like it was a most precious thing. "What's it going to be?" Sarani asked. "Whatever you want it to be," the old woman replied. And as if by magic, Sarani's grandmother held the basket this way and then that. And in every new angle, Sarani saw a different use. Hold it one way and it was a fishing net. Hold it another and a water carrier. Hold it another and it was a hat. One basket, 100 uses, all shaped out of Sarani's imagination and her grandmother's skill. The old woman smiled. "So, what story are those tears telling?" Sarani touched the reeds. They were simple and they were real. "When the candles are lit," she said, "and people see all of me, I will have to change. I will have to do things I have never done. My time won't be my own anymore. My dreaming days will be filled with work and obligations. I won't be me. And what happens if the light from the candles reveal nothing? What if I have nothing to give? And her grandmother smiled. Do you know how old I was when I made my first basket? Sarani shook her head as her grandmother wove in red tinged with gold. I was 3, the old woman said, about the same age that you were when you first told me the story of the secret lives of ants. Her grandmother chuckled and kept folding and weaving reeds. So there was I, she said, a small child with tiny hands, and I wanted to carry leaves from one place to the next. So I solved the problem by making a basket. Once I'd made one, I made another to carry sand, and then another to carry stones. And then I made 100 because I had 100 things to carry. And the more I made, the better I got. Gradually, they became good and strong. I had a huge collection of baskets, hundreds. They filled every corner of our home. The woman kept weaving as she spoke. When my day came to be seen, I was as mortified as you. I did all the things that you are doing to postpone the inevitable. Well, Sarani's eyes went wide. She never imagined her grandmother was anything less than stable and steady. But you made peace with it, Sarani said. How did you do it? Sarani's grandmother put the basket and the reeds aside and made space for Sarani to sit beside her. With help, she said. My grandmother sat me down just like this, and this is what she said to me. With that, she cradled Sarani's face in her hands and drew her close. Do what you love, she said, but do it in a way that it helps someone else. Sarani's heart dropped. That's easy for you to say. Baskets are useful. I just tell stupid stories. What use is that to anybody? Sarani's grandmother wove the last piece of reed into the lid of a small round basket and gave it to Sarani. You will know what to do, she said. Well, that night, standing outside the great hall, Sarani was terrified. Her hands shook, her heart thumped, her legs wobbled, her throat ran dry. She gripped the small basket in her hands for comfort more than anything else. There was nothing more she could do. The village had assembled. The unlit candles had been gathered, and it was time for Sarani to stand before her people and prove she had something useful to offer the world. With all her worry flowing through her veins, she stepped through the doors into the circle and sat in the chair that all those who came before her had sat. For a moment, Sarani thought about her ancestors and her ancestors' ancestors. All those who had come before her. She saw her mother and her grandmother and her great-great-grandmother and her lineage back to the dawn of time, all taking a seat in that chair. Every one of them had come to this moment with a gift that would prove them worthy of their place in the community. Each one of them had succeeded. Every person she knew had found their place in the world. Why? Sarani thought, with all of those faces watching her every move. Why is this so hard for me? The crowd fell silent. All eyes turned on Sarani. The next words had to be hers. It was the nature of the ceremony. The crowd would sit in silence until she spoke. They would sit there the whole night if need be. Sarani wrapped her hands around the small basket her grandmother had made for her and looked at all the faces she had known and loved and who she knew loved her in return. Finally, she settled on a cousin who Sarani knew was working hard to make sure the whole village had food for the winter. He was staring at the basket in Sarani's hands. Do you want to know what's in this basket? She said. And her cousin, tired after a long day's work, said yes. I want to know. and simply because she didn't know what else to say, Sarani told him a story about a bee who took it upon himself to gather all the pollen a whole hive would ever need. He was so determined that he would never ask for help. The story ebbed and flowed, and Sarani didn't stop until she saw a light shine in her cousin's eyes. "I get it," he said, and he turned to his siblings, who all nodded in unison, all ready and willing to help. Then Sarani turned to a young woman who had lost a child. "Do you want to know what's in this basket?" And the young woman nodded. So Sarani told her the story of Wanichi and the soul carriers. And with tears in her eyes, the young woman smiled and took a breath. "I get it," she said, and a weight lifted from her heart. Seeing three children with glowing eyes sitting on the floor, wondering what in the world was happening, Sarani shook the basket and said to them, "Do you want to know what's in the baskets?" And they all said yes. So Sarani told them the story of Obadiah Chicken and how he learned to fly with the eagles. And the children laughed and rolled around the floor, flapping their arms. All night long, Sarani told stories. With every story, a candle was lit. So much so that by dawn it was impossible to tell which light was brighter, the rising sun or Sarani's smile. From that day on, Sarani never went anywhere without that little basket. No matter where she was, someone would ask what was inside, and Sarani would tell them a story. Always, by the end of the story, the people were happy and smiling and content and at peace. This was Sarani's life all the way up to the day her grandmother lay quiet and still, waiting for the doors to the next world to open. With an aching heart, Sarani joined the old woman and held her close. "Sarani," her grandmother said as the sun finally set on that day, "tell me one more time what's inside that basket." Sarani held her grandmother's hand and thought all the way back to the day that basket was made. "Anything you want," she whispered. "Anything you want." There you go. Hey, how's your week been? How's your day been? I am sitting surrounded by a whole bunch of very green plants right now because spring is sprouting. Hey, it's a thing, you know, finding your purpose, knowing what you are meant to be doing on this big, beautiful planet. And I kind of feel it's like it's this, you do what you love to do and you do it in a way that helps other people. I don't know. You know, I'm going to leave that to you. Anyway, hey, what adventures have you got lined up this week? What are you doing today that you're going to kind of look back on in a year and go, "Oh, I remember that day and this is what I did." Hey, and if you haven't joined the Fireside yet, then drop around to www.tinaconstant.com. That is Constant with a K. And I'd love to see you around the Fireside. In the meantime, have a splendid, beautiful week. And I'll see you next week for more wild shenanigans from Waffle Free. Have a good one. Bye-bye now.